teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Have to say to the Church of Jesus Christ today. Acts is a historical record of the progress of the church from the gospel going from a little room in Jerusalem all the way to the ends of the earth to Rome. And today it has reached really the ends of the earth, the good news of Jesus. What does Acts teach us? We begin a study today on Abounding Grace Radio in the book of Acts. And in these next months, we plan to work through this book and help us look at the mission and mandate of the church to help us today. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Visit us on the web at agradio.org. agradio.org. The number's 888-504-8805. 888-504-8805. We'd love to hear from you. We're so grateful you take time out of your day to tune into Abounding Grace. Here is now the program from Acts chapter 1, which I have titled, You Are My Witnesses. And may this be a great blessing to you today, understanding your place as a Christian and in the Church of Jesus Christ. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. But I want you to notice what he said here. The introductory statement's very important. In the first book, O Theophilus, Luke's Gospel, I provided a record of all that Jesus began to do and teach. Began is a very important word there. In other words, Acts is a continuance of what was begun. So it's as if the book begins by saying, I am continuing the record of what Jesus is still doing. And that's really important. This is a book of continuance of what Jesus started. So it's not that he ascended and it's no longer his work, that he's gone. He told us in the Great Commission, lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. And now these works are now continued. They are Jesus' works. We're going to see this through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he becomes the focal point as they are told to wait for him. This is so important because oftentimes, even in the epistles, like Galatians, it is specifically said that Jesus came and preached to you in Ephesians. Well, he never physically showed up and preached. Jesus was there. Jesus was preaching through the ministry of the church. So this is a continuance of that. Now, notice what the continuance here, how it's emphasized in verse 3. That he presented himself alive to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Many proofs appeared to them 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Luke is saying up front in Acts that Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he had the specific goal of spending some real time with his physical, real time with his disciples. He wanted them to touch the hands and the holes in his side. He appeared to 500 brethren at once. He wanted people to see him. It was a wonderful gift to them that they would see him. But there was a goal to this. The main reason he wanted to spend time with them was now that fulfillment, the time of fulfillment had come. He wanted to talk to them about the kingdom of God. In other words, before he left, he wanted to take some real time, physical time, sitting with his disciples, apostles, to talk about the kingdom. How would his rule come? How would the church be built? How would the kingdom of God come? We're talking about his powerful reign being put on display. How would his kingdom be built? I want to spend time talking to them. This was Jesus' desire. He would go up. He would be seated at the right hand of God. How would the kingdom come? How would the kingdom come? Well, you answer that by saying, what did Jesus do in those days before his ascension? That's the link here. It's really important. You have to look very carefully at what was on Jesus' heart right after his resurrection and before he ascends. What mattered to him? Was he running around to Caesar's palace fixing all the world's problems? What was he doing? What was he about? What did he care about? Well, I think you know that these very common passages, he comes after the resurrection to the two on the road to Emmaus and purposely blinds them so that they couldn't see him. And then he does something very remarkable. He would open their eyes through preaching the kingdom. What about the kingdom? Well, think about it. They're standing there. They're falling apart because they had struggles believing in the resurrection and the scriptures. And look at what he said. O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Huh. So immediately after the resurrection, the one thing he wants to do is start preaching himself and looking at all of scripture and explaining it. Think about this. He goes on in Luke. Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you anything to eat? They gave him a piece of boiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed. Listen to this. Should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses. There it is. This is speaking about the kingdom of God. Behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. One of my favorites is John 20 in this period before the ascension. And he looks at his disciples and he says, I'm sending you. He just ordained them. I'm sending you. And then he explains what was to be the heart of their mission. What was to be the focus? What was to be the primary focus of what they do? And this is verse 23 of John 20. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. That is such an important verse. Jesus just laid out the goal of Christian ministry for them. That the goal was, the main purpose, was the forgiveness of sins proclaimed to the ends of the earth. So the fulfillment of the promise that day was coming in the new covenant, that the Lord would remember their sins no more. And right then and there in John 20, he's handing the ministry to the disciples. He's passing the baton of reconciliation to them. And what the Lord is commissioning here then is by sending them was saying, I want you guys to go into all the world and preach the kingdom with one great aim. What I've done for you, you do for them. In forgiving you, you go out now and proclaim that forgiveness and announce it. Whoever believes and trusts in Jesus, their sins are forgiven. Whoever does not believe, they stand condemned. The goal of the ministry, the root and the goal and the heart of this ministry is to preach and bring about through the announcement of Jesus with the goal of forgiving people's sins. It's wonderful, isn't it? The Lord is telling you tonight, that's what I wanted to do. This is what I want to do for the world. God so loved the world. This is what I want to announce to the world. So the end of the Gospels, especially Luke, were training sessions, weren't they? They were training sessions in their future of what they were to do. And the Great Commission was go into all the earth and teach all that I command and baptize. This is why I just want to say, as a side note, this is why we're not making up as Reformed people, because I know that the attitude sometimes to it is, oh, here we go again. We're not making it up when we say a word and sacrament ministry. This is what Jesus was passing. Word and sacrament, means of grace, ministry. And that's exactly what Acts 1 is linking together. So in Acts 1, he's explaining to them how the kingdom would be built. It would be built this way. Exactly what he did after the resurrection, he wanted them to go do. And he passed it right on to them, that the kingdom would be built upon a message. The kingdom would be built upon a message of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection as they opened the Word of God and showed it from all of Scripture. Well, you'd think that'd be clear for them, right? You'd think they'd get that. Seem clear to you? It's not rocket science, is it? I want you to notice how hard it was for them to grasp. He just did everything. Spent time with them, proclaimed to them, explained to them, taught them, showed the passion of his own heart. And here's their question. Verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? I'm not sure how you could sit there those days and have your eyes opened and see how the kingdom would be built and explain how the kingdom would come, how the ends of the earth would hear, what the purpose and great commission was, have it all explained to you, and then the single and only thing that mattered to them and was on their hearts was the restoration of Israel. You think we have that problem today? You think that's on people's minds today? What does that expose? Well, it first exposes that Jesus' kingdom agenda was quite a bit different than theirs, wasn't it? There's a reason that's put there right at the beginning. There's a reason this struggle is captured right at the beginning of Acts. It had long been believed, of course, that when the Messiah would come, he would reestablish Israel's theocratic rule in the earth by sitting on the throne. This was Jesus' entire fight during his ministry, by the way. Remember in John 6, when he had turned and fed the 5,000, everyone saw it and said, wow, this guy could take a few loaves of bread and fish and feed 5,000 people. Who's ever seen power like that? That's like Moses. Remember what happened? They said, that's the prophet. That's the prophet. That's the prophet promised to Moses right there. And they grabbed him and they took him to the mountain to try to force him to make him king. Well, there's his opportunity to restore Israel, isn't it? You know what the next verse says? But he departed to the mountain alone. He wanted nothing to do with it. Their agenda was all earthly. It was all earthly. What do you think? Why do you think this is provided right at the beginning of Acts? Well, it's capturing for us tonight the struggle to appreciate how the nature of this kingdom comes and how the kingdom is built. We really struggle with this. We really fight against this. We're really not satisfied with this. We're so small-minded. I mean, seriously, pastors today think the kingdom of God is built by framing the ministry to address all the social justice issues of the day. That's our current new in vogue thing to do. And it's not new. We just have a bunch of new pastors who have not known the past and what it's done to churches and ravaging them. It's a reason Martin Lloyd-Jones said, when you start doing that, this emptied the churches in the UK. Don't do it. It would be similar to us thinking, are you going to make America great again? It's time. Are you now, Jesus, going to bring in justice to society? Are you now going to deal with corrupt governments? Are you now going to fix the problem of a bad president? Are you now going to make society Christian? Are you now going to stop all the injustices that we see? I'm frustrated. We're frustrated here. We've been waiting for this. We've long waited for Israel's renewal. We're tired of these Gentiles running things. Give it back. I think you see. I think you see and you know that is exactly the confusion that has overcome the church today. And this is such a battle. Oh, this is such a battle just to hold on. If the mission of the church was to fix all the world's problems, this was just an opportune time, wasn't it? Opportune time to say, yep, go do it. Isn't Jesus reigning? Isn't his power on display? Why not fix it now? Well, I think we had a whole sermon about the devil running around like a roaring lion this morning, right? He could empty the fishbowl anytime he wants, couldn't he? Yeah, we go through Acts. And I find not one, I can't find one episode of the apostles going into the government with the goal of reestablishing Israel. Show me. Or making the heart of their ministry all social gospel issues. Isn't it something that before the mission kicks off, this mass confusion had to be addressed? Aren't you now going to clean this up? And Jesus says, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put into his own, fixed by his own authority. Jesus was saying something very important in saying that. I am concerned about bringing in all righteousness. I am concerned about that. But you're way too limited in thinking about the kingdom of God, and you understand not its spiritual nature. You're really confused about the kingdom of God. You're way too earthly. The kingdom does not come by saying, there it is in some political force or some political power. Here it is or there it is. You're not seeing the kingdom that way. That's not how the kingdom comes. It's an inward reality produced by the Spirit, uniting a people together in the earth. When I renew all things, which is coming, the timing of that is not what is to drive you. That's mine. That's the Father's. In other words, don't push the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness will indeed dwell. Don't think that kingdom is brought in that way now. That's coming. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. It's of righteousness, of Christ, and of peace, and of joy of the Holy Spirit. It's just important to say, pastors are not commissioned by God to run around and fix all the world's problems. I'm not equipped to do that whatsoever. These problems are way too big. In fact, the Bible tells us that the very horrible things that we're seeing unfold, this is why Revelation is so helpful, are actually expressions of judgment on the earth. In Revelation 6, a white horseman's bringing conquest. A red horseman's bringing division among peoples. A black horseman's hitting economies. A pale horseman has death behind him in Hades. All expression of division and war and lawlessness and natural disasters are birth pains leading us to a final judgment. The wrath of God is most certainly being revealed from heaven now. And many of the social problems that we are facing are consequences of judgments from the throne. You're not fixing that. The one thing the church offers to this world is an answer to the wrath of God because of sin. That's what we offer. We offer forgiveness. We do that. This is what Jesus commissioned in John 20. We do that by faithfully preaching, as Revelation calls it, the everlasting gospel. How in the message on which the kingdom is built, his life, his death, his resurrection. Look at what Peter does in the first sermon in Acts. That does not fit any paradigm of what's going on today. He is proving Jesus is the Messiah from the scriptures and calling people to faith in him. We preach Christ in order that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Now you said, understand tonight why Jesus says, I don't want you going anywhere. I don't want you moving on this ministry, which should bring some fear to us in doing it. I don't want you moving until the Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit is coming. You don't do anything till he's here. The Spirit will keep this on track. It's his ministry. It's the ministry of the Spirit. It's his purpose to bear witness of the Son. He's going to accomplish this by convicting the world of sin as the law is preached, and righteousness and judgment, and bearing witness of the Son so that people can have life and have it abundantly. You'll see how prominent preaching is in Acts. You're going to be amazed at how prominent they stayed with preaching amidst all the pressures and preaching of Jesus. You wait till he's filled you. Otherwise, you're going to mess it all up. And that's why we see absolute difference once the Spirit comes from these disciples to apostles. You have bumbling Peter, the Spirit comes in, you get a man of boldness, don't you? It's really remarkable. The Spirit is preaching. It's a demonstration of the Spirit and power in these men. You will receive power, says Jesus, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria to the end and to the ends of the earth. That's the clarification they needed. That's the program of Acts. It spans the focus of Acts in two major sections on the ministries of Peter and then the ministry of Paul. And notice that in one verse you have the whole purpose. You are my witnesses. You're going to testify from the scriptures all the things concerning myself. That's why the first thing in chapter 2 is this presentation of Peter's sermon doing exactly this. Notice here, you have the purpose, the extent. This mission is not confined to Israel. It goes from this room to the ends of the earth. The power of it is done in the Spirit. He's going to be backing this, driving this, motivating this. And you'll notice how this section ends tonight, that when he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up. And a cloud took him out of their sight. While they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking in heaven, into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. It's his ministry. He's coming back. But don't stand here. You got a job to do. He's coming again. Until then, you're going to be about Jesus' great commission. What a wonderful motivation. You are a part of that. You are salt and light. You are his people. You share in this. It's a ministry about Jesus and his good news taken to the ends of the earth. And what a privilege that we have to give witness to that. Psalm 2 is being fulfilled before your eyes. He shall take the nations and rule them with a rod of iron. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. That means believe in the Son. Well, we're going to come back to this next time and see it's a ministry of the Spirit. And in contrast to all the hardship today, that we studied in Revelation from Satan, we know why Pentecost was needed, right? Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.